Hare Krishna. So before I came, before I was supposed to give a class, Ravindra, Bhakta Ravindra, who's one of the brahmacharis here, he makes the schedule for the classes, and he asked me to speak on a certain topic. And then afterwards he told me, you can speak on whatever you want. And I thought, I'll speak on what happens when God gets angry. Because for many people to... the idea of God getting angry is not something they're used to. Everyone has got an idea of God being very pleasant, you know, he gives you whatever you want. You come to the temple and you just put some money in a donation box, and then you get whatever you desire. But sometimes God gets angry. So I wanted to discuss what happens when God gets angry. I'll try my best. It all begins many, many years ago in the Vaikuntha planets. There are two individuals called Jai and Vijay. Jai and Vijay were gatekeepers of the Vaikuntha planets. And what they do is that whenever someone comes to Vaikuntha and they want to enter, then they have to, Jai and Vijay will assess whether or not they're qualified to enter and let them in. And if they're not, then they will tell them, you can't get in. So one time, these four boys, small boys, about this high, appeared. And they approached Jai and Vijay and told them, we want to enter. Jai and Vijay was obviously being small boys, and not only that, they were naked, no boys, say they want to see God. So Jai and Vijay thought this is a bit peculiar. Obviously, when you come to see God, you come in fully dressed, presentable, you know, nice, dhoti, tilak, everything. And if not, then nicely clean. But these boys, four guys this high, come to the temple naked, we wouldn't let them in. We've had a few issues with people with some social difficulties coming to the temple, and we often had to get quite heavy with them. So when the four boys appeared at the gates of Vaikuntha, Jai and Vijay also said, no, we're not sure, you can't get in. But what Jai and Vijay did not know is that these four boys were actually great sages called the four Kumars. These boys were sons of Lord Brahma, and Brahma had wanted them to procreate and populate the universe, but they didn't want to because they had reached such a level of self-realization that they had no desire to take part in such an activity. They wanted to develop love for God. So they say, no, we're not going to do it. In fact, we're not even going to grow up. Because once you grow up, you want us to get involved in all of this. You know, like generally, parents, they look after the children. And then when the child is old enough, and they say, okay, it's time to fly the nest and go and start your own family and all that. So they said, we don't want to do that. So we're not going to grow up. We're going to stay young forever. And we're going to walk around naked so people won't get the wrong idea. You know, people won't approach us. So they decided to stay small boys naked. But they were actually great sages. And they came to Vaikuntha to see Lord Narayan. But Jai and Vijay, who normally will be quite astute and quite sharp, on this occasion, by some arrangement of some sort, they did not realize the greatness of these people. So they said, no, you can't get in. And these four sages became angry. Generally happens sometimes. Sages also get angry. So they became angry. I said, because you are discriminating, and you've decided that you won't let us in, we're cursing you to take birth in the material world as demons. They cursed them. And then Narayan came, and you know, he came and he broke up everything. Okay, what's going on here? And then he explained, okay, sorry, sages, you know, forgive them, it's not their fault. It was actually my arrangement, you know. I covered their intelligence, but please forgive them. They did not mean to do this. Normally they're quite sharp. On this occasion something happened, so please forgive them. So the four Kumars decided therefore to, okay, in that case, what we would do, instead of you staying in the material world as demons, you get the opportunity to, you get a choice between 7 lifetimes as devotees in the material world or 3 lifetimes as demons. And these two gatekeepers chose the 3 lifetimes as demons because they didn't want to stay in the material world for such a long time. So they came down to the material world. Now, if you fast forward a bit, in the heavenly planets, which is not quite Vaikuntha, but for us, it's almost like Vaikuntha, because the pleasure there is so unlimited, you know. People get to enjoy as much as they want, you know. Beautiful heavenly damsels, so much opulence, always enjoying. So many people are aspiring for the heavenly planets. Prabhupada said devotees don't want to go to the heavenly planets. But anyway, in the heavenly planets, there's this lady called Diti. Diti was a demigoddess, very beautiful. And on one day, she was feeling quite, lusty. She approached her husband, who was called Kashyapa Muni, and she said to him, you know, you have so many wives and every single one of them are giving you so many children, but unfortunately for me, I can't give you any children. And, you know, today I want you to satisfy my desire. I want you to give me some kids. And he was saying, okay, I can do this, but right now, what I'm doing, I'm meditating. Just control yourself afterwards. She said, no, right now. Because she was so beautiful and she was insistent. So she grabbed him and then she took him somewhere. And they basically just did what people do. And because the time she chose to approach her husband to have sex was wrong, it was inauspicious, there were bad omens all over the universe, you know. So the skies became dark, thunder was cracking, all different things were happening, you know, bad signs. Then she realized that what she did was wrong. Her husband also told her, because you approached me at this time, what you did was wrong, we're going to have a heavy reaction, very bad reaction. See, in Vedic scriptures, there are prescribed times at which we can perform prescribed activities. And to procreate, there's also a certain time which is considered auspicious and a time which is not considered auspicious. And he said that if you engage in like sexual acts at a certain time, which is a bad time, then your progeny, your children, will be demoniac. They will have a demoniac nature. And if you engage in the act at a certain good time, and you've taken all the precautions and done all the necessary rituals, then your children will be born with divine qualities. So it's there also in the scripture that certain times you're supposed to have sex and certain times where you're not. But Diti could not control herself, and she approached her husband at a bad time because she wanted children. It was a good desire, but she could not control her senses. Because of that, her children were going to become demons. But she felt terrible. So it was said that, okay, they won't remain, they won't terrorize the universe for so long. The reaction will be lessened. But her children, when they took birth, they became known as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Two great demons, very powerful demons. They said that Hiranyaksha was so powerful that the whole universe was trembling, you know, in fear of him. Hiranyakashipu also very powerful. Said that whenever he raised one eyebrow, all the demigods, Brahma, all the other demigods, all the other demigods trembled in fear. He said he had them cutting sabji in his kitchen. Many devotees have given this example before. Can you imagine having someone like Indra and all these guys, Indra running away in fear because of this personality, how powerful he was. Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha were great demons. Nowadays, we also have other great demons. And they pretend to be friends, running the country, running the government, and they're leading nations improperly. So, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. Hiranyaksha basically was such a great demon, he was terrorizing the universe. And the Lord had to appear. He appeared as a form of Varaha Dev, which is a boar incarnation. I'm sure some of you might have heard. And he appeared and he killed Hiranyaksha. So when Hiranyakashipu heard that Vishnu had killed his brother, he became really angry. Who is this Vishnu? Where does he get the audacity to kill my brother? Who does he think he is? The great Hiranyakashipu, and he kills my brother? I have to kill him. I have to avenge the death of my brother. But first, what I need to do, I need to perform severe austerities and acquire so much power that I'll have all the demigods, the whole universe trembling in fear. What I'll do, I'll stand right here on the tip of my toes for millions of years and develop so much power that even Lord Brahma himself will have to come and find out what I want. So that's what he did. He stood there with his arms right up in the air for thousands of years. And his austerities were so powerful that it was choking the whole universe. People could not live anymore. They could not breathe anymore. So Lord Brahma appeared to Hiranyakashipu and he asked him, "What do you want? No? Why are you doing such severe austerities? What is your desire? If you have any desire for any benediction, I can give it to you. But first stop these austerities." Hiranyakashipu told him that, "What I want to become immortal. I never want to die." And Brahma said to him, "That's okay, but everyone in this material has to die. Krishna says, you know, this is Mrityu Loka. Everyone has to die in this material. Even I, Brahma, must die one day, even though I live a long time. So I can't give you something I don't have." He said, "Okay, if you can't make me immortal, then make me invincible to weapons made by man, beast, demigod, demon. I never want to die in the land, in the water, in the sky. I don't want to die during the day, during the night. Yeah, I don't want to die by any weapon. I don't want to die at the hands of any man, demigod, beast, or demon, anything." And he thought that he was so intelligent that he had covered all the bases, you know, because he cited all the different living entities that he knew existed within this material universe. So if I don't die at the hands of these living entities, then I pretty much won't die, because no one can kill me now. So Brahma said, "Fine, I'll give you this boon, Tathastu." And Brahma left. So Hiranyakashipu was very powerful now. He was going all over the place, terrorizing everyone. He was destroying the universe, killing brahmanas, killing cows. Indra ran away from the heavenly planets, from his kingdom. And Hiranyakashipu was ruling the heavenly planets. And everyone was paying obeisances to him and everything. Now Hiranyakashipu had one son. He had a few children, but one son was very prominent. His name was Prahlad. Now, Prahlad was a very great devotee of Lord Vishnu. And all Prahlad used to do is to meditate on Lord Vishnu and to perform devotional service for Lord Vishnu. And this was not ideal because his father was a demon who hated Vishnu and he's a devotee. How can this work? They call this rasabas, basically, you know. When you mix savories with sweets, this is called rasabas. If you're going to have sweets on your own. Savories, have savories on your own. So if you're going to be a demon and be born in the family of a demon, be a demon. But don't be born in the family of a demon and be a devotee. So this was rasabas, and Hiranyakashipu couldn't tolerate it. So one day he asked his son, he said, "My dear Prahlad, now it's time for you to go to school. We'll have you taught by the greatest teachers that ever existed. Their names are Shanna and Amarka. Their guru is Sukracharya, the great, great spiritual master. I'm going to send you to the school and they're going to train you in the art of diplomacy. You're going to learn how to manipulate people, how to divide and conquer, and to become a great ruler." So he sent Prahlad to this school. And every day they were trying to drill into his mind all these demoniac teachings, you know, how to make friends, how to make friends and influence people. There was a book called How to Make Friends and Influence People. So they wanted to train Prahlad on how to make friends and influence people in order to achieve his material desires, you know, how to become a powerful person. So Prahlad was just listening attentively, but nothing was getting in, you know. He just rejected it internally, but externally appeared to be paying attention. And whenever the teachers would leave, Prahlad would start preaching to his friends, you know. His friends would be interested only in playing and doing things that kids do, you know. Like kids like to go to the playground and go up and down the slide and all that. And Prahlad wasn't interested in any of that. So he used to stop them and ask them, he'll ask them, "Why are you wasting your life like this? You know, running around and playing all these silly games. Don't you know that ultimately we're all going to die? In this material world, we're all going to die. But the only salvation we can achieve is by performing devotional service to Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu. You know, and this devotional service would begin from a young age." And like this, he was preaching to his children. And his children also became devotees. So his teachers were becoming alarmed, you know, "What's going on? This boy is preaching. Where is he learning this? And his father also chastised the teacher, saying, why are you not keeping a close eye on my son? Why are all these people, all these Vishnu worshippers infiltrating your school and preaching to him? Where is he getting this knowledge from? He said, it didn't come from us. So where does it come from? Not us. Okay, try again, but this time be more vigilant. So again, they were trying to preach Prahlad. So much wealth I have today, so much wealth I have tomorrow. If anyone gets in my way, I'll kill them. That's what they were teaching Prahlad. Imagine you send your child to school and this is what he's learning. In school these days, they learn so much nonsense anyway, but this is even worse. So much wealth I have today. They'll have the kids repeating it on a daily basis. They were trying to poison Prahlad's mind. But it wasn't working. So one day Prahlad went home from school, and his father, being a loving father, put him on his lap and he asked him, so my son, how are you doing today? I'm very good, father. Ah, very good. So what is the best thing you've learned in school today, Prahlad? He asked him. He was expecting Prahlad to say, Jai Hiranyakashipu, you're the greatest. To divide and conquer is the best thing I've learned in school, because if you can't divide and conquer, then you cannot rule. And if you cannot rule, then you cannot be feared. And if you cannot be feared, you cannot be the most powerful person within the universe. That's what he was expecting Prahlad to say. But then Prahlad said, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmani Vedanam. Said, hearing and chanting the glories of Vishnu and remembering the pastimes of Vishnu, this is the greatest thing I've learned in school today. Can you imagine this? This is a great thing, to chant the glories of Vishnu. And by chanting these glories, you attain love for Vishnu. Now, Hiranyakashipu was furious. Where did this boy get the audacity to glorify his worst enemy in his own house? Who does he think he is, this boy? So he threw him off his lap. And he picked up his sword and he said, God, take him away. He called all his demon friends and take him away and kill this boy. So they took Prahlad and tried to torture Prahlad. They put him in a pit of venomous snakes. But somehow or other, Prahlad survived. They tried to boil him in hot boiling oil. Prahlad survived. They tried to feed Prahlad poison. Prahlad survived. They threw him off a cliff. Prahlad survived. They threw him under a herd of stampeding elephants, but Prahlad managed to walk away unscathed. So now news came back to Hiranyakashipu and he was completely disturbed. How is this possible? Now he was becoming afraid and fearful. He's thinking, if I don't kill this boy will be the cause of my own death. Where does this get his power from? He asked Prahlad, Prahlad, where do you get his power from? And Prahlad said, the same place you get yours from, father. Where is that? From Vishnu, father. Vishnu, you dare mention the name of the man who killed my brother in my own house? We are enemies of Vishnu, Prahlad. So how can you glorify him? He said, because Vishnu is the supreme personality of Godhead. Vishnu is not the supreme personality of Godhead. I am the supreme personality of Godhead. Everywhere I turn, everyone's afraid. When I raise one eyebrow, I have Indra wetting his... So how dare you glorify Vishnu in my own house? I'm the great Hiranyakashipu. So where is this Vishnu of yours anywhere? And Prahlad, he's everywhere, father. Everywhere? He's in that pillar right there within my courtyard. He said, yeah, father, he's right there. He's explained that actually, because Prahlad said that Lord Vishnu was within the pillar, Vishnu appeared within the pillar. So Hiranyakashipu picked up his sword and he ran towards the pillar and said, I'll kill this Vishnu of yours. And he pounced upon the pillar and he started hitting the pillar. And then suddenly this form appeared. It was like tumultuous sound. And then a form of Lord Vishnu appeared from within the pillar. The form of Lord Nrisimhadev, the half-man, half-lion incarnation of Lord Vishnu. There's a picture up there. Sometimes people come to the temple and we show them the picture and try to describe how... Lord Nrisimhadev killed Hiranyakashipu. So what did Lord Nrisimhadev do? He put Hiranyakashipu on his lap and with his nails he opened up his abdomen and he pulled up all his intestines and put them around his neck and wore them as a garland, a flower garland. It's like Lord Krishna and Lord Ram, they have nice flower garlands up there. He also wore a garland of Hiranyakashipu intestine and he was so angry. How did this clown dare to terrorize and tried to harm my devotee, Prahlad? He was so upset. They said that when Lord Nisshinadev appeared in a half man, half lion form, and he killed Hiranyakashipu with his nails, this was actually to keep the word of Brahma. Because if you remember, Hiranyakashipu asked Brahma to make sure that he didn't get killed by any man, animal, beast, demigod, or demon. He didn't want to be killed by any weapon. Yeah, any weapon made by man, demigod, animal, beast, or ghost, or whatever. He didn't want to be killed on the land, in the sky, in the water, or anywhere, during the day or during the night. So how did Nisshinadev kill him? Nisshinadev appeared in a form which was neither man nor animal. He appeared in a half-man, half-lion form. Yeah? And what did he do? He appeared at a time which was neither day nor night. They call it twilight, right? Twilight, correct? So he appeared at twilight. It was neither day nor night, yeah? And what did he do? He put him on his lap, which was neither the earth or the sky, on his lap. And he killed him, neither inside nor outside. He killed him on the threshold of the house, you know? Before you get in, before you get out. So it's neither inside nor outside. What did he do? He used his nails to kill him, because his nails are not weapons. They're just his nails. So he tore open his chest and pulled out his intestines and wore him around his neck. And then Lord Demigods, everyone was thinking, ah, very good, very good. Finally, this demon is dead. He's been terrorizing everyone for so many lifetimes, so many years. Finally, he's dead. Now, Prabhupada said that Lord Nisshinadev appeared to convince the atheists who say that there is no God. See? Hiranyakashipu was the biggest atheist. His name itself means a soft bed made out of gold or something like that. I can't remember. Hiranyakashipu. This is said in the scripture that he was the epitome of materialistic consciousness. He was an atheist. He didn't believe. He thought he was the supreme. And he thought he could acquire so much using his own strength. He thought he was the most powerful person. And when Lord Nisshinadev appeared to kill him, this symbolizes Lord Nisshinadev, Krishna, God, appearing to kill the demoniac consciousness which is pervading this world in which we're living at the moment. See? In the previous ages, the demons and the demigods, they lived in different planets, separate. Then as time went on, started living in the same household. But now it's said that they're living within the same heart, you know? We all have a dark side. We like to think we're devotees, but we all have a dark side. It's like sometimes you get these movies and there's like angel here and a demon here. The angel said, angel, you're put in a situation, tempting situation, and the angel says, don't do it, it's not good for you. Then the demon says, don't worry, there's no one here, it's just us two. Just go on, do it, do it. So we all have a dark side. And sometimes this dark side leads us to do things which is neither good for ourselves nor for other people. So what the Lord does, he appears within our heart when we're sufficiently practiced in the process of devotion to him. He appears within our heart and he kills this dark side and he purifies our heart. So when Lord Nisshinadev appeared, he killed Hiranyakashipu and he made everything auspicious. This is why one of his names is Mangalhari, auspicious. He appeared to kill the demon Hiranyakashipu. So in the scriptures it said that if anyone is feeling in any way fearful, finding it difficult to perform that devotional service to Lord Krishna, it's advised to pray to Lord Nisshinadev. This is why Prabhupada instituted this Nisshinadev prayers that we sing after every aarti. You know, he said that he put this in place to protect the guru, protect the devotees. You know, because in its form as Nisshinadev, Krishna appears specifically for the protection of his devotees. Generally, Krishna, he's not a very angry person, you see. He's quite happy in Goloka, just eating ladus and playing with his coward friends. But if anyone tries to offend one of his devotees, he won't hesitate to kill them. In the Battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna had promised that he wouldn't fight. But then when Bhishma Dev was fighting really well and was about to kill Arjuna, then Krishna broke his promise and he picked up the wheel and was about to kill Krishna, Bhishma Dev. He broke his promise for his devotee because his devotee was about to be killed at the end of Bhishma Dev. Also, in when he appeared as Lord Chaitanya, he sent two of his devotees, Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu, to go and preach the glories of the holy name. And then there was these two demons called Jaga and Madai, who were also incarnations of Jaya and Vijaya. See, Jaya and Vijaya, they fell down. They appeared at Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, but then they appeared again, because remember, they have three lifetimes as demons. They also took four lifetimes, because the first lifetime they appeared at Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. Second lifetime they appeared at Shishupala and Dantavakra. No. Ravana and Kumbhakarna. Third lifetime they appeared at Shishupala and Dantavakra. And the fourth lifetime, which was a bonus lifetime, they decided to appear as Jaga and Madai in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. So when Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur were sent to preach the glories of the holy name to everyone, begging everyone to take the holy name and chant the holy name, because that's the only way to achieve salvation, these two demons, these two fallen Brahmins, Jaga and Madai, they were so terrible that one of them picked up a pot and smashed on the head of Lord Nityananda. Lord Chaitanya heard about this. He came rushing in with Sudarshan Chakra and he was about to kill them. If it wasn't for the intervention of Lord Nityananda, he would have killed them both. But Lord Nityananda appealed to him and told him, "No, please, my Lord. In the previous ages, you appeared to kill demons. But if you come in this age to kill demons, everyone within this age will have to die, because everyone is a demon in this age. So please forgive them." So Krishna can't tolerate any offense to his devotees. So it's advised that devotees approach this form of Lord Nrisimhadev and pray for the mercy of Lord Nrisimhadev to protect their bhakti. And also one of our acharyas, Bhaktivinod Thakur, he wrote this very nice prayer addressed to Lord Nrisimhadev in the book. And it's very nice. I'll read the translation. There's five verses. It's called Five Prayers to Lord Nrisimha by Bhaktivinod Thakur. It says that he's written this prayer in a book called Navadvip Bhavataranga for receiving the mercy of Lord Nrisimha. And these prayers are assurance to all sincere devotees that the worship of Lord Nrisimha is purely in the line of aspiring love and devotion to Radha and Krishna. And the prayers are as follows. It says that within my sinful heart, the six enemies headed by lust perpetually reside, as well as duplicity, the desire for fame, plus sheer cunning. The six enemies are lust, greed, illusion, envy, pride, and anger. And on top of that, within the heart also, duplicity, the desire to be famous is there also. We all want to be something special. We're not satisfied with being devotees of Krishna. We want to be the best devotee of Krishna. Everyone to know all about us. So within the sinful heart, these six enemies reside. But at the lotus feet of Lord Nrisimhadev, I hope that you'll mercifully purify my heart and give me the desire to serve Lord Krishna. Weeping, I'll beg at the lotus feet of Lord Nrisimha for the benediction of worshipping Radha and Krishna in Navadvip, perfectly safe and free from all difficulties. When with this Lord Hari, whose terrible form strikes fear into fear itself, ever become pleased and show me his mercy. So here Bhaktivinod Thakur is praying for the mercy of Lord Nrisimhadev. So it's encouraged that we also pray for the mercy of Lord Nrisimhadev. We should pray to every devotee of Krishna, all these incarnations, to please protect my bhakti. Because in the beginning, bhakti is compared to like it's a creeper, and it's very tender. You know, we're attacked from all different directions, so many temptations, you know. So we have to pray for the mercy of the Lord to protect us. And like this, our creeper will develop and become stronger and turn into a very strong plant, which will actually reach Goloka Vrindavan. And then at the end of our life, we'll also enter into the pastimes of Krishna. So although we are Radha Krishna devotees, all these other forms, we also respect them and approach them, asking for benedictions. But not just any benediction. We don't just want a nice car or a nice wife or a nice husband, nice children. That's good. But we ask for bhakti. We want him to protect our bhakti. So whenever we come to the temple and we stand in front of the deities with folded hands, we always want to do that, come to pray to the Lord. We should be conscious of what we're praying to the Lord for. And it's something we have to practice every day, because the Lord is so merciful, he'll grant any benediction. But if we're not intelligent, then we'll ask for the wrong benediction. And then what happens? We have to take birth again. Going around and around this wheel of birth and death, suffering old age, disease again and again and again and again. So try it. Just go to the deities. Your mind will tell you, ask for something material. But try to ask for pure devotional service and see what happens. Your life will change. So, thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Then you can, if anyone has any questions. I chose to speak about Lord Nrisingadev because I'm trying to practice the principle of Kirtanam. They say that you should just glorify the Lord, because sometimes we say, oh, I don't know anything. I'm not so philosophical. How can I glorify the Lord? I hear so many lectures, so many analogies people come up with. But just saying that Krishna is great is the best thing you can do. You know, just saying Krishna is great. When Prabhupada was still on the planet, there was one young girl who used to run around and ask people, do you know who Krishna is? Say, no. Say, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then she'll run off. And Prabhupada said, she is the best preacher we have around here. You know? Because all she's doing is saying Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Glorifying Krishna does not require you to be scholarly. You don't have to be an amazing speaker. Just do it with your heart. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I'm his servant. And please, Krishna, help me remain your devotee for the rest of my life and for eternity. So this is the mood. And I like Lord Nrisingadev. And my Guru Maharaj gave me the name Nrisingatirtha Das, so why not? You know? Let's speak about Lord Nrisingadev. So Nrisingadev Bhagavan ki, Prahlad Maharaj ki, go pray, Manandi. Thank you very much.